I'm working through a teaching series based on the early Christian book called the Acts of the Apostles. I'm calling this teaching series the Wildflower Revolution. And right now I'm on part two, Connected. So here we go. My shiny yellow Sony CD Sports Walkman. I was walking through the aisles of the electronics section in Best Buy when I saw it. When the glimmer of yellow came into my peripheral vision, I was hooked. At that moment, nothing else mattered. I was being reeled in by the allure of technology. Sony had just released its newest product. It was a shiny yellow Sony CD Sports Walkman. From the moment I saw it and held it in my hands, I knew that it had to be my shiny yellow Sony CD Sports Walkman. It came with 15-second anti-shock, so you could literally shake it and the CD would not skip. It came with lightweight headphones and a spacious and sleek carrying case for the device, as well as pockets for 50 CDs. It had gray clips that made a confident clicking sound when fastened, as if it was saying to the world, "I'm technologically top-notch and you can be too." The problem was that the shiny yellow Sony CD Walkman was expensive, and I was only 15 years old, but it had to be mine. That's when I made a plan. I convinced my younger brothers to have a garage sale. I also convinced them that since I was the organizer and the older brother, that I would need an extra cut off of all the money made. After the garage sale, I didn't have enough, so I persuaded some friends that I needed to buy my stuff. I sold them my baseball cards and my old G.I. Joes. I still didn't have enough, so I begged and pleaded with my mom. That's when she put me to work, sweeping, straightening, cutting, cleaning, vacuuming, and scrubbing. When I still didn't have enough, I convinced my brothers to help me steal some quarters out of a wishing fountain at a nearby mall. I know, not my finest moment. But finally, with clenched fist, I held on to my new shiny yellow Sony CD Walkman. Fast forward 4 years. My not-so-shiny yellow Sony CD Walkman was stuffed in the center console of my car. Every once in a while, when my elbow bumped into it, I recalled how badly I wanted it, how I thought I just had to have it. And there it sat, unused. I felt guilty about the way I had treated my brothers. One day I was driving a freshman home from school that needed a ride. He picked up the case and opened up that yellow Sony CD Walkman, and his eyes lit up. He told me that he had always wanted one of these, and that his CD player had broken last week. I knew what I had to do, but I didn't want to. I battled with myself the entire drive. Finally, as he got out of the car and said thanks, I hesitatingly handed over my not-so-shiny yellow Sony CD player to him. "I don't really need this anymore," I said. "It's yours." I drove away quickly so that I couldn't change my mind. Opposing mindsets. There are two opposing mindsets that battle within us. I call them clenched fists and open hands. Clenched fists are about advantage over others. With my clenched fists, I hold on to possessions and I seek for more. Clenched fists say, my needs come before anyone else. Clenched fists step over people. Conversely, open hands are about service to others. With my open hands, I offer possessions and seek nothing in return. Open hands say, another's needs come before my own. Open hands help people up. Be warned, both mindsets can ruin your life. When my clenched fist reluctantly let go of my Sony CD Walkman, my mindset began to change. But it wouldn't be the last time that I struggled with these competing mindsets. We live in a tug-of-war-like tension between clenched fists and open hands. Open hands. Our early Christian faith ancestors have a lot to teach us about open hands. The early Christian book titled The Acts of the Apostles tells the story of a courageous community of believers who continued the message and mission of Jesus with open hands for the world. Throughout imprisonments, trials, and threats, the earliest followers of Jesus learned to lean on one another, they prayed together, and they trusted in the God of their ancestors. These experiences and many others gave birth to a dynamic community life. Acts 4:32a tells us this, "And the believers were one in heart and soul." It's helpful to make clear that these early Christians didn't necessarily think alike, but they shared a similar mission. Their differences did not trip them up because they were pulled forward into God's dream for the world. They were convinced that they were living at a turning point in history. God, as the prophets had made known, was finally fulfilling the promise to make a new world here and now. God's movement through Jesus had finally come, and the world could now be renewed and restored. Good news was here. The captives were set free. People received new sight, and the oppressed tasted real and lasting freedom. A new paradigm that blessed all people was taking root. Love replaced hate. Forgiveness replaced grudges. Compassion replaced judgment. And service replaced greed. The community of believers lived these values through their commitment to open hands. Verse 32b says, "Nobody held on to their own possessions, but they continued living with everything in common." They abandoned the worn-out way of closed fists and adopted the way of open hands. Verse 33 says, "The apostles witnessed to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus with great power, and great grace was upon everyone." Their commitment to open hands was grounded in a story. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection reality is the linchpin that guided their community life. And great power, as well as great grace, was everywhere. The whispers and rumors of the homecoming of love were proven true, and the community of believers celebrated. Verses 34 through 35 tells us, "There was not a needy person among them, because whoever held possession of a piece of land or a house sold them, brought back the money from the sale, and placed it at the feet of the apostles, who then gave it to each according to their need." Their commitment to open hands met the needs of all and compelled others to join this movement. There was awe and wonder. There was beauty and truth. There was mystery, and God was in their midst. It was not just the wealthy that lived with open hands, as Acts 2:45 makes clear that all were involved in this community project, this movement. They would sell their possessions and goods and give them to all as any had need. Their mindset was this: God is a God of abundance, not scarcity. God is generous. God gives so that nobody has to go without. God is the God of open hands for the world. Christian communities model to the world God's open hands. The church, the community of believers, become God's open hands. Fast forward roughly 70 years, Tertullian, a prolific early Christian writer and pastor, pens these words: "On the monthly day, if he likes, each puts in a small donation, but only if it be his pleasure, and only if he is able, for there is no compulsion, all is voluntary. These gifts are, as it were, piety's deposit fund, for they are not taken thence and spent on feasts and drinking bouts and eating houses, but to support and bury poor people, to supply the wants of boys and girls of destitute means and parents, and of old persons confined now to the house, such too as have suffered shipwreck, and if there any happen to be any of them in the mines, or banished in the islands, or shut up in the prisons, for nothing but their fidelity to the cause of God's church, they become the nurslings of their confession." It was this mindset, open hands, that waters the ground for a new world. But how do we loosen our clenched fists and learn the habit of open hands? No one needy. There was not a needy person among them. Verse 34 makes clear. The Greek adjective endehos that can be translated needy can be expanded to mean those who lack materially as well as those who lack intellectually or professionally. It does not just refer to those materially impoverished. It's a both and, not an either or. We all have needs. This verse invites us to think about all of our human needs. In order to flourish, to bloom, we have several life needs. We need life basics, food, water, and shelter. We need life care, love, encouragement, affection, listening ears, and safe places. We need life skills, nutrition, fitness, money management, intellectual skills like how to read, write, and think, professional skills like resumes, job interviews, and ongoing training, parenting skills, and homemaking skills like cooking, cleaning, and home maintenance and repairs. Life needs are interrelated, interactive, and dependent upon one another. If we are honest, there are these places, these gaps in our life needs that need attention. It's easy to hide, ignore, and to run from these cracks. Over time, these fissures widen and cause pain and brokenness. No one has to be, and no one should be alone in this journey. God wants you to flourish. God cares about every aspect of your life becoming whole. God invites you to a mystery. As you journey through the brokenness with open hands toward others, you find yourself thinking less about your own cracks, and over time, these gaps are healed. Christian community offers you an invitation. Will you become God's open hands to each other? How do we learn the habit of open hands? We humbly become God's open hands for others and accept God's open hands from others. In Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Harry Potter finds out that his parents were famous wizards. He had lived his whole life underneath the stairwells with the family called the Dursleys, who tried to hide his real identity from them. But when he finds out who he really is, and when he's accepted into the Hogwarts School of Wizardry, he finds out that in the bank called Gringotts, he has a fortune. He was living as a poor person, but now has a fortune to feast on. And on his way to Hogwarts, he meets a friend named Ron Weasley. Now, Ron Weasley has a large family, lots of brothers and sisters, and the Weasley family is poor. They don't have a lot of extra cash to spend on their sons and daughters. They scrape to make it by. But one thing that the Weasleys have is love. They have a family system where each and every one of them feels loved and accepted. There's laughter. There is fun in the household. Now, on the ride to Gringotts, Harry shares with Ron his money, his material possessions, and buys them a variety of candies that they eat on their journey. But Ron also shares with Harry the great and awesome gift of love and encouragement and a loyalty that he can never deny. Harry becomes God's open hands for Ron, and Ron becomes God's open hands for Harry. Both of their brokenness is different, but both of them are healed, and the world is changed. There are two opposing mindsets that battle within us: open hands and clenched fists. Clenched fists grow a world that produces pain, destruction, selfishness, greed, narcissism, death. Open hands grow a world that produces joy, construction, selflessness, generosity, community, and life. Wildflowers grow in families. They are connected. They share, they care, they give, and they grow. anyone happened to make a wish at the Northland Mall in 1994, I'd be happy to return your quarter.